Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle.
With plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys. This is Larissa, and I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
So I know that the big holidays are behind us, but we've still got one more to round out the year. New Year is coming.
But this is your big holiday. The big ones aren't yet behind us.
Yeah. It's my favorite and the biggest growing up. So we're excited to talk to you about New Year's traditions today. Allison and I have put together our New Year's resolutions to share with you guys and our best tips, too, for trying to make sure that we don't let go of those New Year's resolutions just a couple weeks in.
Which is a hard thing to do.
Very much
or
so.
I should say it's easy to let them go. It's hard to make sure you don't.
I think the latest statistic is that only about 8% of resolutions are kept.
That surprises me in no way, shape, or form.
I know. So we'll talk about that a lot more. But what are we drinking today?
So today is actually my go-to bar cocktail. So you know when you go to a fancy bar and you don't want to just like order a beer or a glass of wine, you need like a fancy cocktail. So a lot of people go with like a Manhattan or martini. Mm-hmm. So this is a classic champagne cocktail. It's super simple, but it is. Looks beautiful and it's super fancy. So cheers. Happy New Year's.
And where can we find this recipe?
So as always, you can find this on silverlinedandwine.com. And speaking of, on silverlinedandwine.com, I love to entertain. I love to decorate. I love to do all sorts of things like that. So on silverlinedandwine.com, you can actually find some of my past New Year's parties and the ways that I've decorated.
Awesome.
And some of the cupcakes that I've done and things like that. So go ahead and check that out at silverlinedandwine.com, and you can also find this cocktail.
Awesome. So why don't we get into it?
Perfect. So the first thing I want to talk about is just sort of what are our traditions. So I obviously, being Russian, New Year's is a little bit bigger for you than it is for me. Like for me, it's just kind of the changeover of the year. But I think for you, it holds a bit more of a special meaning. You have a special tree. There are certain, so you do gifts. So why don't you talk
to
me about yours?
Yeah. So we talked on a previous episode about some of our holiday traditions. So definitely check that out if you're interested. But yeah, we have a New Year's tree. And, you know, for the way I grew up, it's not so much about, you know, specific things that you do for the new year, but more so about just making it a really big deal, because this idea of starting fresh and starting new is just a really awesome concept. So, you know, in past years, pre-kids, it was always like my biggest holiday. I went out, I did it big. And my biggest thing is that I think that the way that you ring in the new year is how your year will be. So I would get something new to wear, like head to toe.
I love that.
Down to undergarments.
just starting fresh.
And you know, like our tradition is to, you know, nothing stops at midnight. You keep the party going, you know, till you drop. And you know, of course, that's changed a little bit since kids, and it's a little bit quieter, and maybe having some friends in house. I know for a while I still kept up the idea of doing like wearing something new and all that, but then I think maybe I just got lazy. And when people are coming to you, you just tend to stay in your sweats or your pajamas.
You don't even dress up if you're at home.
No, I did used to,
but I feel like that would be something fun to do with the kids too.
You might
like,
be
say we're going to wear our New Year's outfit.
Yes
starting fresh.
We could do that. We could probably do that. And you know, just as a refresher, we do have gifts for the new year. So because Bill and I celebrate different holidays, we actually tend to not give each other gifts for those holidays. We'll do a gift for each other on New Year's because it's just us. It's just kind of our family. And usually, you know, again, we might have some friends there. But for me, it's just more about kind of like, I love that concept of a fresh start.
Nice. Well, I like that.
Yeah.
So I guess it's relatively similar because we had sort of the single New Year's and then the now with kids New Year's.
Yeah.
So it used to be we would always host a New Year's party every year. We always were in the city and we had a roof deck so you could go out and see nice. All of the fireworks in the city. So everybody would come to us. And it was fun. Like, we'd get really dressed up. We'd have lots of decorations and food. And they would go for a couple days. Like, the party would go for a couple days because what we did.
Days?
Days. Because we'd have people over, and then people would either sleep over or we all lived in the same area. And then we'd go for brunch. And, of course, brunch after New Year's, you have to have mimosas or a Bloody Mary. And then the party would just sort of kick back up into gear.
Oh, my gosh, why didn't I know
the
three kids?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But it was always fun, like, on the second waking up and my entire house would be covered in either glitter or confetti. And I'd be like, oh. It's the worst.
Usually the day you're coming back to work, too, where you're like...
I take off.
I
take off until the third because this is how the parties work. Like, they go that long.
Okay.
And we always looked forward to it. It was always really fun. And
but, Allison, you go to bed at, like, 9.
I do now. I know.
You did not used to.
Well, no. I always did, but on New Year's, like, I make an exception. I'll have coffee. Right. I will stay
awake. I didn't
know
if, like, the party kept going, but you were just asleep
No. No, we kept the party going all night and then into the next day. So this past year was my first New Year's with Claire. I'm trying to remember. Because I was not pregnant the New Year's before.
Okay. Right?
I'm trying to remember. So this past New Year's, she was only 2 months old, 3 months old. And so I was still on like a close to 3 to 4 hour nursing schedule. Obviously, we weren't in the city anymore. We had moved to the suburbs. So like... everything about our New Year's had changed.
All at once.
It was kind of silly. So we just had my brother and sister-in-law over with my niece and just played games.
Love
and
that.
Watched the new and
I
it was my that. My niece's first time staying up. So I think this year would probably be a little bit more of the same, just chill. Just relax.
I like that part too. Because you can still, once the kids are in bed, you can hang out with whoever you're having over if you are, or with your spouse or whatever, and then there's none of that, you know, how do I get home stuff.
No.
Just kind of
you are home.
Have some drinks and celebrate. Maybe a little quieter.
Not that much quieter if there's a 10-year-old, I have to say.
Fair.
She made up for a lot of the noise that our friends used to make. But it was still a great time. So
awesome.
I think one of, obviously, the biggest things about New Year's is New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And I think people struggle with them. I struggle with them, to be honest, because you said 8%. Of people actually keep their New Year's resolutions, which is abysmal. And so what I used to not do resolutions, but I like the idea of sort of starting fresh, starting a new year, starting to think through what you want that year to look like. So maybe we just don't call them resolutions. Maybe we call them New Year's goals.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Okay.
So one of the things I wanted to do is set our New Year's goals on today's podcast. So like there's a couple of buckets that I thought we'd walk through and we can each say what I think we would want to do.
And I really like the fact that you put it into these buckets, right? Because I think when I've thought of resolutions in the past, I've made a laundry list of things. And you know, when you're trying to do something completely different or change a habit or start a new habit, it's overwhelming and it's hard to do all on its own. And when there's 50 things on that list, that I'm kind of setting myself up for failure.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that we've got these couple of categories. It's a little bit more achievable.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit more achievable and it's kind of like a thing per category. So it's, I don't know.
It's similar to going crunchy, right?
Yeah.
Little bits at a time. So the categories that I put together were fitness, food, relationships, crunchy, because of course we had a crunchy category, and then a stretch goal. So something that kind of you feel takes you to the next level in a way that is meaningful to you. So
definitely.
It can kind of be anything. So just to give you kind of what each of the sections are. So why don't we kick it off with fitness, because we know this is where we both fail.
We struggle
so
in the fitness category. We're just not like people who work out in life, and we constantly stop and start things, and we both really need to work on that.
I'll go through these periods of being like just super super into fitness and feeling great, and I'm like, I never want to stop this ever again, because then I have to start again, and Here I am.
Well, but sometimes, granted, this shouldn't be an excuse, but life gets in the way, right? That there's something to that habit. And when, you know, your kid gets sick or you start working late, it breaks you out of that. And it is so easy to break a habit and so hard to start it.
Which is the worst. And yeah. So sad. So what would be your fitness goal for 2018?
So in the past, I've said things like, I want to work out 2 days a week or 3 days a week, or I want to do this or I want to do that. And I've been, I think, maybe a little bit too specific. So I think my overall goal is to just develop a routine, to find something, maybe it's even 1 day a week that I do consistently that I could call it a routine that, you know, gets my heart pumping a little bit stronger and works my lungs and just lets me chase the kids a little bit without being out of breath or walk and talk up the stairs at the same time.
Well, that's a good goal, Grandma.
I mean, that's tough work for me.
I know. I hear it. So for me, it's kind of similar, but for me, it's a feeling of feeling fit. So I know that sounds a little silly, but I want to get back to feeling active in my body and fit in my body. And, you know, I don't need to lose weight. I'm not really worried about that, but there's just this feeling of strength that's kind of missing. So I just want to pick that back up. And I'm specifically not saying this, like you said before, like I'm going to work out 3 days a week or I'm going to do this or that, because I feel like, I don't want to get into something, feel like I failed and then give up. I want it to be this sort of longer tail goal.
Yeah.
Which is why I feel like that's a good one. And we both have things at our disposal. So I have kind of a makeshift gym in my basement. You have the Peloton.
Yeah.
We have ways we can do this.
Yeah. I specifically put my Peloton in my dining room. So it would be in front of my face all the time. And my husband uses it like it's his job.
And I bet, like, the designer was like, that's a good spot for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great there. And there's just toys all around it.
So one of the things we're actually going to be starting in the new year is working with one of our previous guests, the lovely Karen, who's a yoga instructor, and potentially, you know, helping her guide us through, you know, bringing yoga into our lives a little bit more. So stay tuned. We'll probably do a little bit of a catch up with her and a podcast on how we feel about that. But first, we have to be successful at it before we are willing to talk about
it. And let's get, like, a little bit more specific, too. I think our goal there is, and this is kind of a short-term goal, which makes it a little bit more achievable, is to kind of find a way to do a short daily yoga practice for the first month of the year.
Now you said it out loud.
I'm saying it, Larissa.
It.
Because I need to stretch my old lady body, and I need to do this. So I'm saying it.
All right.
It's a short-term goal. It's not forever. It doesn't have to be part of the routine, but let's do it for a month.
Okay.
And let's see what happens. And, you know, I don't know how long, like, every time is supposed to be. I don't know if that's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is, but we'll have Karen guide us through. And we'll certainly make that available to all of you if you want to do it along with us.
That's a great idea.
Almost like a, you know,
yoga
1 month yoga challenge. Yeah.
I like
for
it.
For sure.
All right. So our next category is food. And this is where I think we both tend to do pretty well. Mine a little bit by necessity. But what would you say your New Year goal would be for food?
So I think I've talked about this a bunch of different times. I've kind of hopped around and tried different dietary lifestyles. So earlier this year, my husband and I went vegan for a few months. We then added some things back in and went ovo-pescatarian. So essentially adding in eggs and adding in fish and seafood and things like that. And now we've moved over to Mediterranean, which is, if I can give like a, I don't know, a 2 second description of it, it's like 60% plant-based, you know, with like heavier emphasis on fish, very light on the poultry, and then like almost never dairy and like red meat.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like nothing is necessarily restricted. It's just kind of where you lean heavier. So we wanted to try and bring it kind of all back in and see how we do. But I think my overall goal there is to just continue to try to find what works for us, you know, and for my husband and I, and then eventually pass it down to the kids. What do you think about your food goals?
So a big thing that will be happening in the new year is transitioning from nursing to Claire being fully weaned, which is going to be super hard.
So hard in so many ways, emotionally and physically.
One of the ways that it will be good is that I'll be able to eat a normal diet again, because obviously everything that I had cut out, I'd cut out for her, and because she couldn't eat it.
Oh my God, I don't want to see you on that first day. You're going to eat so much and feel so sick.
I don't know if I, that's the thing. I don't know if I will, because I'm beyond the point of missing things, as it's been a year.
You don't crave anything?
Not really. I crave the ease of being able to eat whatever I want. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I can understand
that.
Hey,
we didn't think through dinner. Let's just quickly order sushi, because I can't have soy sauce.
Yeah, you know what? I do get what you mean, because now that we've flipped over to Mediterranean, I can now eat meat, but I haven't.
Yeah.
You just because sort of, I don't know, I'm like used to not eating it now, and I'm waiting for to like see something on a menu or smell something and be like, oh, I really want that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to go gangbusters. I made a joke that when I could eat dairy, I'd go on like a cheese plate tour of our city. I'm probably not going to do that. I might celebrate with like a night out at a restaurant with Kyle where I don't even think about the menu and I do a tasting course or something.
Oh, so many courses.
I know, but I'm going to feel awful. So my food goal for 2018 is to transition from a very, very, very restricted diet to being able to eat whatever I want in a healthy way. So maintaining a dietary lifestyle that makes me feel good.
Okay.
Despite not being limited at all.
Okay. I like that.
So I don't know what that means yet.
Yeah, you don't know what that means for you yet.
Yeah, but that's my goal.
Do you think that where you land with that is where you will kind of try to get Kyle and Claire on board to? Will you guys kind of all follow the same plan, do you think?
So Claire will still be restricted. So there are certain things that we just won't have in the house.
Okay.
So that will kind of help me stay healthy in a way as well. So obviously we won't have any dairy in the house. We won't have any bananas or nuts or anything. I always say anything at the end because the list is so long, but so we won't have dairy in the house, which I feel like dairy is my biggest thing. I love good cheese plate. So I think that we'll probably all maintain the same diet. I'm a big Feed Claire What We Eat
fan. Me too.
So she right now eats everything that we eat, and I don't want to make two meals.
Right.
So we'll probably cook stuff she can eat anyway. So I don't think my diet will drastically change. I just know that when I'm out and I'm feeling that pang of hunger right now, I'm like, all right, well, I have to get home so I can eat chicken and vegetables, whereas then I'll be able to be like, well, I can just sort of pop in there and grab the fastest thing I see, and making myself not do that will be hard.
It's exciting. Exciting stuff.
Big stuff happening in the Allison life. All right. So our next bucket of goals is around relationships. Can you kick us off?
Yeah, so I think for me, it's always the same every year. It's just to be more present. My mind is always 50 places at once, and I'm always obsessed with taking pictures of things, even though I print none of them. And I feel like I constantly have my phone in hand, or the TV's on, or I'm thinking about something, and I'm not necessarily always as present as I can be. In moments with my husband, in moments in playing with the kids. Like, I've definitely had moments where I've realized I'm watching them through my phone because I'm obsessively taking those pictures, and there's a time and a place for that, and it's important. But I just want to find a way to be more present.
Interesting. I feel like we could probably do a whole episode on being present, because I'm sure there's resources to help with that, and like apps and things.
Yeah,
but that's a good one. I like that one. Maybe I'll add that to mine.
Go for it.
So for my relationship one, I think Kyle and I do a really good job of going on vacations with my family. So we go away on two vacations a year with my family, which we have a blast, and we go to the same place every year. One ski, one beach. But when we first started dating, every year, from the first year we got together, we went away on a vacation, just the two of us.
Oh, it's so nice.
It is. It was. We had such a good time. I look back on it so fondly, but we stopped about, I want to say 2 years ago. And so probably, yeah, when I was pregnant. And so it's something we miss doing, and we really want to get back to it. And this year we had plans to. So we had booked everything. We were ready to go. And it was right when things were kind of hitting a fever pitch with Claire's allergies. So we had just been in the ER. She had, like, a whole slew of things. So we just decided it would be more stressful to go than to stay. And so we just did a bit of a staycation, and my parents were able to use our vacation, which was perfect. But we have to make sure we make it a priority. And so I think that's my resolution, is make sure that we make the three of us getting away a priority.
You just answer my question too. Like, do you want to make sure that you and Kyle get away, or do you want to make sure you're creating those, I guess, family vacation traditions with Claire?
And I think both.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be healthy to do both. Kyle and I are actually good at doing vacations without each other. So I tend to do girls' trips.
Yeah.
And he tends to do bro trips, which, you know, have their place as well. But I think it would probably be good for us to get away, just the two of us, even if it's just like a B&B for the weekend. But I think the three of us, like, doing our yearly 1 week long trip,
sure,
just the three of us, is something I want to do.
Maybe you and Kyle should adopt mine and Bill's tradition of our Thanksgiving tradition of leaving right after Thanksgiving.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
All right, so what's next?
So next is a very apropos topic, crunchy. So this was anything related to any kind of crunchy topic. So whether it be, I don't know, skincare products, home products,
sure,
anything like that.
I actually had a hard time thinking about this one because I feel like I'm kind of like tuned into this in some way all the time. But you and I recently, through work, actually took a class on making kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it definitely gave us some transparency into the actual process, and it didn't turn me off. It actually made me think, like, oh, this is pretty doable, and kombucha is something I actively drink. So I think my crunchy goal is to make my own this year and give that a try.
I love that. My favorite part about that kombucha class is they said the hardest part is throwing away the scobies you don't use, like the baby scobies.
I can understand. I mean, if it's growing, it's living, quote unquote. So I don't know. Hit me up for scobies.
Yeah, you need a scoby.
If I do this, I'll keep you guys posted. Maybe I'll be mailing around some scobies.
And maybe we make a kombucha cocktail or something like that.
Yes, I'm totally into that.
Might be yummy.
Let's do it.
All right, so I can't believe I'm going to say this.
What?
My crunchy goal this year is to clean up my beauty routine.
Yes.
I said I'd never do it. So if you've listened to past podcasts, you know I'm like a big makeup girl. I love makeup. I love playing with it. I love wearing it every single day. I like makeup tutorials. I like the whole culture of makeup. But I am putting it on my skin every day. And I've changed up everything from my laundry detergent to the soap I use to the lotions I use. And then I'm putting these chemicals on my face, and I don't know what they are. I don't know where they're from. It's just stuff I've always
used. I'm finally getting to you.
No, I hate you. So I'm going to, here's the thing. I'm not going to just blindly say I'm going to use all clean products.
Okay.
Because I have formulations that I use. I like things that last. I like things that, you know, have a good color vibrancy. I want something that works for me. So I'm willing to try things.
Okay.
And if they can compete with my toxic existing makeup,
yep,
then it's something I transition to. So for example, like, I just tried something different for my foundation, and I liked it.
Okay.
It lasted all day. It sat well on my skin. It didn't clump. It didn't collect in my fine lines, which I hate about some of the foundations you can use. So step one,
Okay. It's something. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I just don't know if you can replace my mascara.
We can replace your mascara. I think mascara is one of those things that you have to, you're going to have to try a bunch. It's like dating.
Dating mascara.
Date your mascara. We're going to have to, like, maybe we do, like, a little bit of a challenge where we get you everything from, like, the, like, a safe pharmacy brand, like, okay, a drugstore brand, to, like, a more upscale brand, and you compare it with the one you love. Because I know your mascara you've had forever and a day.
Caveat, not the same tube of mascara. the same brand and style
or whatever you call it. Maybe we, like, try a bunch and you see if it, like, stands up to the one
I'm
that you
love. I'm
willing
to try. It's my goal this year because, I am putting it on my skin every day.
All right, I'm going to send some brands your way. Okay. And we'll slowly give this a shot and maybe you report back.
I'm shockingly open to it.
Okay.
For the first time.
I mean, well, it still lets you play with makeup, so I think that's probably why you're in.
True. I'm like, wait, I can watch tutorials with how to use clean makeup. Love it. All right, so the next one is a stretch goal. So I think all of these kind of put you in a box unintentionally. So it's something that you can really be actionable about. But a stretch goal is saying, here's a thing that's kind of, you know, would be useful to me in kind of a larger life situation.
Sure.
And isn't something that's easily fixed, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. So you have to really put yourself out there and figure out ways to meet this goal.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. All so right. For me, the way I interpreted that, I think the biggest one that I think about, and we talked about something related to it earlier too, is making self-care more of a priority for me. So earlier today I was telling you about how I need a haircut, and I needed a haircut like 2 months ago, and I still have not gotten a haircut. So this goal is really selfishly about me, and it's about what things do I need to feel good. And some of that is the fitness part, and some of that is the food part, but some of that is just having time to myself, doing things that, like, so I feel pretty. Some of that is kind of clearing my head and, like, finding ways to do that. So it's not one set thing, but it's more about kind of maybe making myself a priority.
I love that. And I think that's so important, especially as moms.
Yeah, I think it's common to be in this place that I'm in. I think it's not unheard of, and I think it's really hard, and that's why I definitely make it my stretch goal, because, yes, I will eventually get a haircut, but then I'll probably find myself in the same position months later where I say, I should have gotten a haircut 2 months ago.
But I wonder, you know, a haircut is a symptom of a larger problem, right, of not making yourself a priority. So I wonder if there's some ways that you can put things into place to make sure that you're taking the time that you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's some of what we're going to talk about, right, is not only setting those goals, but making them clear and actionable and knowing what your targets are in order to know if you've achieved it or making something that's more in reach than out of reach.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's, I think that was our, that was, those were our categories, right?
Yeah, so my stretch goal would be, I think, simplifying my wardrobe.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I tend to, I'll buy pieces that I know are really important to me, and then I'll fill it with, like, a bunch of crap, and I throw nothing away.
Sometimes I buy things because it's a deal, and I don't even like it.
Okay, that's a problem.
Listen, you also have a problem. It's called, you buy something, and you'll never return it, even if you don't want it.
I know. All right, so that's my guilty secret. It's the worst. There's, like, a category in my closet of things that, like, they sent me the wrong size, or it's just hideous and it looked really cute online and they all have the tags on it, and, like, what will end up happening is Goodwill gets the mother load, but it's the worst habit. So
why won't you return things?
I don't know, Larissa. I don't know.
Do you need to make, like, not being lazy a goal?
Yes. Literally every year. But here we are.
Oh my gosh.
Simplifying my wardrobe, I think what I mean is, like, You think about a man's closet and how easy it is for him to
walk
in.
Oh my gosh, it's so easy.
It's so easy. He walks in, he grabs a pair of pants, he grabs his collared shirt.
And it always matches.
Brown or a black belt and brown or black shoes. And so one of the things that I would like to do this year is start from the bottom. Let's get rid of the things that I don't need and do a bit of a capsule wardrobe. I've done capsule wardrobes a lot for, I'll typically do like a seasonal capsule wardrobe or like a travel capsule wardrobe. And essentially what it is it's a couple of pieces and they all work together.
Yeah, you so introduced me to that. I had never even heard of that.
They're amazing. But I really would like a full capsule wardrobe where it's, you know, I'm not really a particularly trendy person. I really like simple silhouettes. I like, you know, I like what I like. I want something that feels classic and comfortable. And so I would love to just be able to walk into my closet, grab this, grab that, grab a pair of shoes, and it works. And have it be the easiest thing in my day where it often can feel like stressor.
Yeah. So I would put this into my self-care bucket too, because inevitably every day I walk into the closet and I go, I have nothing to wear.
Yes,
so
but you're surrounded by clothes. I'll take self-care too. But you're surrounded by clothes and you have nothing to wear. It's like the common first world problem. It sounds terrible, but it's true, because you're surrounded by too much. There's too much in there. There's too much going on. It's not formulaic enough. It's,
yeah,
you know, there's a little bit of that work uniform that can feel comforting and easy, and it should be a simple part of your life. You feel great in what you're wearing, but it's not such a hard decision. Yeah.
But it's so hard to get there. It's so hard to get there because I just keep buying crap, and then I go, I don't like this. Why did I buy this?
And you buy it, like, I'll walk into a store and be like, oh, this is on sale and it costs $20, but I'm going to wear it twice. And then it's going to sit in my wardrobe for like 25 years.
That's a hard one.
That I wore in college.
But so necessary.
So that's mine from a stretch goal perspective. So maybe what we can do is just keep each other accountable and follow up on them.
I would love to do that, because inevitably I'll just let it all fly away.
I know. It's hard not to.
Yeah.
It's really hard not to. So that's why I want to talk a little bit about what you can do to help keep your New Year's resolution, you know, be part of that 92% that...
Yeah.
No, be part of the 8% that keeps it, not the 92% that doesn't.
No. Yes. That took me a minute also.
I know.
It took me a minute.
Math. Not our strong suit today. So what are some things that you can do to keep a New Year's resolution? So I think we are step one here. If you can hear, I'm rustling a paper because we wrote down what ours are. And I think writing it down, having it in black and white, and having it be something you can refer to is helpful.
Yeah, I will say last year, in an attempt to write down my goals, because usually it's just something I think about and kind of mentally file away, I posted them on Facebook for all to see, for anybody that follows me on Facebook, and to try to keep myself accountable for it. But that didn't work. And I think what didn't work about it is that I actually didn't print it for myself and like put it on my fridge or in my closet or wherever I see it every day.
Instead it disappears instead to
of,
the bottom of
instead
your
of it just disappearing. Yeah. It's not like people are commenting on it every day or something like that. So I wrote it down, which was a great step, but I didn't actually, you know, use it in a way that was productive.
But you did do something that I've heard is really helpful, which is to make it public.
Yeah.
So if you... There's something about public accountability, and so I know a lot of people tend to join these Facebook groups that are all around holding you accountable for fitness goals.
Definitely.
And so something like that, if you can make it public, like, I don't know, talking about it on a podcast.
There you go.
But if you can do things like that where you almost feel like, well, I said it out loud, I kind of have to achieve it now.
Well, yeah, because eventually somebody will ask you about it if you really do say it in a very public way.
Yeah.
I know I had like those moments when I went vegan, like I had wanting to cheat moments because it's very hard in the first week or so. And I was like, well, I can't just like completely just go against it. I said I was doing it. I'm doing it. And
exactly.
It helped me stick with it. So I do think that definitely works.
I like that one. So The next one we actually use for our objectives in consulting. So bear with us for sounding a little consulting-y here. But when you are setting your professional objectives for the year, they always tell you to make the objectives SMART, which is an acronym, and it means specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-oriented. So quickly touch on each of those. So specific would be, instead of saying, I want to be fit next year. It would be, I would like to lose 20 pounds by February.
Or I want to run a 5K or something like that.
Yes, exactly. So, and then measurable, like I said, it's that tangible goal. So something like, if you wanted to run a 5K, I know that I achieved that by completing a 5K. Right. Or if I wanted to lose that weight, I know that it's a quantifiable
measure. Absolutely.
But the other piece is achievable. So if I say I want to, let's say I said that, I want to lose 20 pounds by February. It's not going to happen.
Or if I said, I don't like to run, I'm going to do a half marathon.
Probably not going to happen. Maybe do a 1 mile fun run. Keep it small.
I see what you think about me. I see what you think I'm capable of.
You could totally do a fun run. I have so much faith. So the next one is relevant, and so it has to be something that's relevant to your overall goal. So I'm trying to think of a good example here.
So this one's a little bit easier to do at work, right? Because it's usually, is this goal relevant for the work that you're doing? Yeah, so when I think about relevant in terms of setting New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals, I think it's just more about, is what you're wanting to do, does it make sense for this time in your life or where you are in life? And if we relate it back to the kind of running a race example, and I have actually done a 5K and no more than that, and that was more than I thought I'd ever do. But
more than a fun run. But so more than a fun run.
I would think about, like, so relevant would be, does it make sense if I have no experience and my legs are totally not trained for running, does it make sense for me to start that in January when it's freezing cold outside? So maybe relevant will be more like, I will start to work on, training for a run when the weather gets warmer. So just making sure it's kind of the right time, not only literally the right time in the year, but also the right time in terms of what you're priorities are in that moment.
Your life situation.
Exactly.
That's a good one. And then the last part of SMART is around time oriented. So putting a time box on it, saying I will achieve this goal by this time. It just helps to sort of ground you in the goal, make sure that it kind of drives back to measurable. So you can measure it.
Am I on track?
Exactly. So that's make it SMART. It's very consultant-y, so we're going to go ahead and
specific,
apologize.
Measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-oriented.
Exactly. So the next kind of piece of advice for resolutions is around involving the family. And this is, some of ours even, looking back at what we had said we'd do from a goal and resolution perspective, involving the family can kind of, for lack of a better term, kill two birds with one stone. So you are achieving a goal while spending more time with your family. And undoubtedly, if it's, cooking more or going for hikes, it's something your kids would benefit from too.
Yeah, for sure. And I would doubt that there isn't anybody who doesn't have on their list that they want to spend more time with family. So anytime that, if we talk about it from a fitness perspective or a food perspective, so doing something active with your kids or cooking with your kids, whatever it is, it really does kill two birds with one stone. Like you teach them something, you do it for yourself, and you just spend that time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's anything better than being able to do something that involves the family or friends for
true. That learning tower that you mentioned in a previous episode, it's this thing that so you can put your kid right up by the counter on my list for Claire, because I would love to be able to cook with her, and doing Christmas cookies is something.
Yeah,
we have on our list.
Used our learning towers for a long time. We actually, the kids are now turning 4, and you can use them well past 4, but we happen to, in our kitchen, have an island where we have some kind of like tall bar stools, so the kids are now at an age where they sit there and we didn't really need them so much anymore, but when they were growing up and kind of wanted to help with doing dishes or help with cooking, those were so great. And again, it involves them. And with the food part, it like teaches them healthy habits. It teaches them how to cook. It you know, gives them the kind of joy and being proud of, like, helping cook the meal. So
love it. The next bit is around an accountability buddy. And so I think with this one specifically, we're each other's here.
Definitely. We have to be, or none of this is getting done.
And it's part of what we're going to be using Karen for with that yoga challenge that we had mentioned earlier. So somebody that's just checking in on you saying, hey, let's get to the gym today, yeah, or, you know, whatever you're, it may be. So maybe Larissa is saying, have you switched out your mascara yet? And just making sure that you stay on track. It just helps to have that one other person that knows your goals and is committed to that goal as well.
And I would also say, if you've got someone that maybe has experience in what you're trying to achieve, so it might be me for the mascara. With Karen, you know, I'm going to go to her because I don't really know what to do with yoga. I only know how to follow a teacher or follow a video, and I don't really know how to do it on my own. So I need that accountability. Or if it's a run, somebody that's done it before that knows the right way to train, right? Like when I first started way back when, I just started trying to run and see how fast I could run. Well, here I found out that wasn't the way you do it. You're supposed to interval train. So if there is kind of a more specific goal like that, that you know someone that's done it and done it well, that's the best accountability buddy for you.
I love that. So the next bit is about rewarding yourself at progress points.
It's my favorite because I love a good reward.
A good reward. And it's essentially saying, you know, there's going to be steps along the way. It's not point A to point B. There's probably going to be a couple veering off to like a B minus,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so making sure that you understand that there's pitfalls, but you, celebrating those successes, mm-hmm, so that you continue on against your goal.
So I know that I love some cute workout gear. And since my biggest one is really about fitness, because that's the one thing that I can't seem to do consistently, I know that I will find some points where I say, if I've achieved what I've wanted to achieve, I'm going to head to toe get myself a new outfit.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so mine lends itself really well to getting new makeup.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I have to start.
But that means you have to throw away makeup, because you know you're supposed to do that every once in a while.
I know. I read your post on that and I was crying internally because I can't part with makeup. I'm horrible at it.
Well, it's expensive, and I get that.
I love makeup.
But, you know, bacteria.
Fair. So maybe I'll check that first. So this was a lot of fun. I think that New Year's resolutions are challenging. I
yes.
think that often people say New Year, new me, and often find out that, you know, it's still you. you can set goals for yourself. But there are ways to make sure that you can keep them a little bit more actionable,
yeah,
and make sure that it's things that you can help yourself, support yourself in achieving.
I mean, we all know that, like, I know for me, there are lots of things I want to do, but know that I can't get them done in a year and I can't get them done overnight. And I think with a healthy lifestyle, this whole kind of crunchy message we're trying to give across about, like, you know, your makeup, your skincare, like, or your makeup, your household products, the food you eat, all of that, it takes baby steps to kind of really probably get to where you need to be. So make your goals those baby steps, whatever they may be, right? They might not be health focused, but they shouldn't be challenging. They should be things that are achievable for you in order to get to your end goal. Maybe you need 5 goals in 5 years to actually get to where you need to be or want to be.
That's a good idea, sort of building upon it, yeah, year over year.
Yeah, because I think the second that you set something that's so big, the second you fail, you just stop,
mm-hmm,
and then you never get anywhere. So even if you get to a small portion of it, that's a win.
It definitely is a win. And so as we said, we're going to be having these goals across these different buckets. So reminder, it's fitness, food, relationships, crunchy, and our stretch goal. And we'll check back in on this,
yeah,
you know, just to see how we're doing. And stay tuned for how we do at yoga.
For
It'll
sure.
be interesting, to say the least.
And I would love if you guys are interested in, you know, making it public, like we said, share it with us. Like, either email it to us if you prefer it to be a little bit more private, but to kind of share with, sometimes sharing something with someone you don't know is makes you feel a little bit more accountable.
That's true.
Versus a friend, like, you're like, oh, whatever, I can blow this off.
She's like, they won't want to make me feel uncomfortable.
They won't want to think anything of it. So you can share them with us, you know, especially if you're on kind of the same goal path that we are, or feel free to post those on the show notes, crunchycocktailhour.com. But we'd love to hear them. We'd love to hear what you guys are up to.
And if you do like what you guys hear, we would love it if you would both subscribe and leave us a review. In the podcasting world, reviews are just the highest form of flattery, and we would absolutely love it. We love to read them. We love to hear feedback. So if there's things that you'd like to hear as well, please send them our way. We would be happy to take that into consideration.
Absolutely. And as always, you can find our drink recipes at silverlinedandwine.com and also on Pinterest at crunchycocktailhour.com. And for that matter, we are on all the social media. So please give us a follow. We'd appreciate it. And have an awesome new year, guys.
Yeah, happy new year. We'll see you in 2018.
Hey.
Happy new year, everyone.